welcome. Today is Monday, April 24th, 2023. I am Solid Ancestor, and this is My Turn to Talk. And I would like to welcome everyone streaming on other platforms, or whatever platform you're on. Welcome and thank you. Hey, Lena Breda, welcome back. You are number one today. And Shelby, you're right back. I thought that was cute. How are you, girl? You're number two. Bro, what's up? Number three today. Welcome, 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 one and all. So let's get started. So I'm happy to say that Thursday fun last Thursday was Thursday fun. There was a lot of laughter. I was happy about that, but we're back to serious. So today I want to talk about leaving your house. You know, with everything going on, you drive into somebody's driveway by mistake, you get shot, you ring somebody's doorbell, you get shot, your basketball rolls into somebody's yard, you get shot, you go to church, you get shot, you go to the market, you get shot, you go to school, you get shot, you walk down the street, you get shot, you know, or you get run over by a car, you know, anything. Even if you just walk out your house and you have a heart attack, you know, what's the guarantee that you'll return? What's the guarantee that, you know, you will come back? If you come back, you'll come back in one piece. When I say one piece, it's like, you know, something does happen to you. You know, you go to the hospital, you come back, you know, your arm doesn't work right, you know. You know, you lost a leg. Anything. You know, what guarantees do we have? And in life, we don't have any. You know, when my son was growing up, I always made a point of before he was homeschooled, I always made a point of you know, telling him that I loved him every single day, even though I still do that now, tell him I love him every single day. Have a good day, you know, whatever. Because you don't know if your loved one is going to come back. You don't know if you're going to come back. You know, your child may walk through that door at the end of the day, but you may not. You know, what guarantees do we have? And is the world so out of control that our guarantees are lessened? You know, we have less of a guarantee that we're going to return home. And when I say less of a guarantee, I mean, because your neighbor, unbeknownst to you, who you thought was always that nice, sweet person, is stockpiling a whole bunch of guns, and they're planning to, you know, take out a school or take out a post office or whatever. You know, you always hear, you know, people say, oh, well, in high school, I'm so surprised. He was always the nicest person. She was always like this. She was always like that. You know, but what's the guarantee that you'll return? Hey, Lou, welcome. Rifle, welcome. You know, do we have guarantees? Lou, I am doing well. Thank you. You know, I mean, I just think that it's crazy that we're to the point of a father and daughter are playing basketball, and your basketball rolls into my yard and I'm gonna shoot you. You know, that's just like the stereotype of the old lady or old man. Well, you know, you keep your balls keep flying to my yard, I'm not gonna give them back. You know, and then that over 40 years, they have over, you know, 300 balls from kids, you know, throughout the years whose balls flew in into their yard. I mean, seriously? And if you don't want to get them, can I please go and get my ball? You know, now if the kids are being a jerk and they're just purposely doing it, well, no, you're not going to get your ball back. But, I mean, I just think that it's crazy. And Lou says, your topic is very close to my current situation. Well, if you'd like to share what your current situation is, you are more than welcome. You know, so I just wonder, you know, at what point do we come to our senses and stop all the foolishness? You know, before it was like, you can get hit, like I said, you can get hit by a car. You can, you know, have a heart attack and die. You could be in a plane crash for reasons not returning, but not returning because of somebody else doing something that was just stupid, and you just were in the wrong place, wrong time. That's just crazy to me. It's just so crazy to me that, you know, if you're in a drive-by, or, you know, or if you witness a drive-by or whatever, the bullet that was meant for somebody else hit you or hit your child. That's just crazy to me. You know, what guarantee, you know, do you have that you're going to return? And I hear more and more people say, I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to go anywhere. That simple, you know, 2-block or 2-mile drive or walk to the store could get you killed or hurt. You know, walking your dog, going for that bike ride that you go for every single day or every morning, going for that morning jog. Somebody could just be crazy one day and decide, the same person that you see every day that you nod to and say, good morning, could go on a rampage and they can shoot you. So, I just want to know, you know, when does the madness end? So let's see. Rose says, stop shooting people. Brina says, it is sad. People are so angry all the time. I never know who will snap. I tried to make it a point to say I love you after most conversations with loved ones. Yes, yes. Lou says, my pops walked out the house a month ago and probably will never come home again. I'm sorry to hear that, Lou, when Jesus returns. You know, and again, y'all have heard me say it over and over. God just needs to just wipe everybody out. Start new. Wipe out everyone and everything on the face of the earth. Start new and put animals at the top of the food chain, because humans just don't seem to get it right. We just don't seem to get it right. We destroy. We destroy. You know, it's really sad. And Bro says, as Americans, we are doing exactly what we are supposed to be doing. We are in economic crisis. We are overpopulated. Therefore, a purge is necessary. But Bro, I don't think it's just as Americans. I mean, even though we are like off the chain crazy, but just across, you know, the globe, you know, you have people, you know, killing people and threatening people if they go to school. You know, some places where girls are not so supposed to learn, you know, or, you know, you crossed over this imaginary line and now there's a full scale war. I mean, it's crazy. I want your land, so I'm going to, you know, bomb you until I can get it. I want to own this. I want. Or I am having a bad day. You know what? I'm pissed. I'm just going to go get my guns and just start shooting people. Or my kid is just crying so much, I'm just going to beat him to death. My dog had the nerve, the gall to, you know, have an accident on my rug. So, you know, I'm going to beat it. This is where we are. And Lou says it's the ego, unfortunately. Drew says, until you make them pay financially, gun manufacturers and politicians will keep pushing the narrative. Yes, they will. And I do believe... it was Blunt Ninja last week who said that, you know, the government cares more about the unborn ones than the born ones or than the live ones, excuse me. You know, but seriously though, I mean, what guarantee do you have that when you walk out of your house, that you will return? And again, I don't mean you had a heart attack or you were in a car accident. I'm talking about because somebody did something stupid and you just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. What is the likelihood? Lou says the government doesn't care, never have. Very true. Bro says we have the highest prison population in the world. Those prison deaths are part of the plan. Yes, it is. There are no guarantees. And you're right. There aren't. There aren't. There are none. I mean, what is the likelihood of, and you hear this happening sometimes, rarely. What's the likelihood that if, you know, a gunman starts shooting and you're, you know, in that place where they're shooting, that they'll skip over you? That for whatever reason, they don't shoot you, but they'll shoot the person next to you, they'll shoot your friend, that they purposely don't shoot you. You know, it has just gotten to the point where shootings in this country, mainly talking about the U.S., of course, are so commonplace now that when you hear about them, you kind of shrug them off. At least that's what I do. And it's wrong. And I shouldn't do that. Because after I do that and I realize that I'm doing it, I immediately think, well, the next shooting, I could be one of the people who don't go home, who don't make it home. I could be one of those people that someone says, oh, another shooting, oh. But again, I'm not just talking about shootings. I'm talking about you're walking down the street and someone just sucker punches you in the face. You go to the hospital, you end up, you know, with a concussion or a brain bleed or something. Or even if you just go to the hospital and you stay the night and then go home, you still did not make it home that day. You still did not make it home that day because someone wanted to sucker punch you for whatever reason. Because they're blaming something on you. You did something wrong. Or maybe they were just having a bad day. Okay, Lou says, it's life can't fear anything. You mean you can't fear everything? Is that what you meant? You can't fear everything? Drew says, prison is profit. That's why they are full. Lou says, shoot back. Bro says, acceptable behavior in a family nation. Crucible, welcome. Juju says, I have a niece. She was 17 at the time. She was visiting her sister and she heard the people upstairs arguing. So she went into the hallway to listen to the argument. The guy took out a gun and shot into the floor. The bullet went to my niece's head. She's okay today. And Mary, it was a long road to recover in Mass General Hospital. Wow, she was lucky. No, she was blessed. It gets better than that. Her sister, who was 23, is playing cards with her boyfriend, another couple. Her boyfriend takes out the gun and shoots her in the head. Doing very well today. What? What? Wait, just again, you hear people fighting over just the silliest things, just the silliest things, again, when is the madness going to stop? Because some people are to the point where they don't want to leave their house. They don't. They want to stay in the comfort of their home, which is sad. You're being forced to stay inside because you're afraid of what might happen when you venture out. And I just think that that's just, I just think that, that that's so, so sad. But that's the nation, that's the world that we live in. I just received, on Friday, I received my new passport. And I go on the website and just looking at countries where you can, where you're allowed, well, not going to say you're allowed, where, they have the level 1, 2, 3, and 4 countries, that are okay to go to, and level 4s like Russia, China, they're level 4s, the Ukraine, level 4s, the Sudan, level 4, whatever. And, but other countries, United States is a level 4. The United States is a level 4. because of all the shootings. You know, and I'm looking at this passport, and I have been wanting to go to China for about 4 years. But it's not a place that I can travel right now. And I'm not even talking about COVID. I'm talking about just the way the political atmosphere is. You know, I can get caught. They can charge me for something that, whatever. You know, and I think that that's just, I think that's sad. You know, people ask me, you know, well, why do you want to go to China? China's been one of the places I've been wanting to go for a long, long time. You know, but in the last, you know, actually a little bit before COVID, I really wanted to go because I think it's a beautiful place. It has history. And I just would like to go. You know, but now it's like, do you even leave your state? If you go into another state, something can happen to you. If you go into another county, something can happen to you. If you go, you know, down the block, something can happen to you. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, I just think that it's just so crazy that this is the world that we're living in. Bro, I'll come to you in one moment. Let's see. Bro does say the criminal justice system is the largest of the checks and balance departments, making crime a very necessary evil for economic growth. Juju says, go figure, two sisters a year to the day sister gets shot. My brother and his wife went through hell and back. I can't imagine. Lou says America definitely has to be a level 5 then, more murders here than anywhere. Rifle says, I'm sure it's hard to get away, but there are places that your chance of being caught in the crossfire is pretty low. Not sure how a person that wants more doesn't get out. That's true. Drew says crime is not a necessary evil for financial growth. The problem with shootings and gun safety is our ideals of freedom conflicting with security for ourselves. Drew says, I go down the block, I go to another community, I leave the state. I mean, Drew, so do I. I travel, you know, but I'm just saying that, you know, for some people, they don't want to go. And right now, no, China's not going to be a place that I go. Will I go someplace else? Yes. You know, I have a lot of places that I plan on going, places that I do travel to. But I'm just saying, for some people, there is that real fear. There is that real fear. So, bro, welcome.
Sally, did I call in or did you invite me?
You called in, but it's
okay. I'm sorry, that was an accident. I'm sorry about that.
Do you want to? Okay, well, you don't want to say anything. No,
I do want to say something, but I was listening, and I guess I accidentally pushed the button.
That's okay. Because if you want to call in.
You was doing a good job holding it down by yourself.
Okay.
But I believe that crime isn't this a necessary evil for economic growth in America. Understand this. For the longest, the selling of marijuana was an underground illegal act. Now the nation is selling marijuana. And what they're doing is they're giving free access, free rein access to fentanyl, which people are cutting with marijuana on the streets. And as a result of that, people are actually dying. So guess what America is doing? They're directing you to the marijuana dispensaries. America is indulging in crime itself. Think about this, Sally Bloom. They just put out a pedophile bill disguised as an abortion bill because it says people have the right to do with their body parts what they will. And it don't even have an age on it, which means 29-year-old men could knock on your door for your 14-year-old daughter, and years ago that would be a crime.
Well,
so yes, America's participating in criminality itself.
Well, I mean, come on, but you have to look at the governor of Arkansas just signed a bill that made it okay for children as young as 14 to work without their parents' permission. Why? Because there's a labor shortage and it is okay for these children to work in places like meat factories. Then you go to Missouri, where the knuckleheads over there said that it's okay for, it's okay for 11-year-old girls to get married, so I mean, bro, the laws in this country, just continue to just astound and just baffle me. But again, I just say, across the world, how bad are things going to get where, again, I am not one of those people. I will pretty much go everywhere. I said pretty much. Not going to China right now. Not going to Russia right now. But but there are some people who are so freaked out that they don't want to go out. What do you say to those people?
And they shouldn't, because you know why? The United Nations, did you hear? It's discussing right now as we speak, putting up legislation that will do away with sex crimes. See, you got to understand, Solid Blue, listen, I mean, it's one thing to get on here and speak from an emotional place of what we believe and what we feel, because that's all fine and dandy and cute. But if we're not in the know of what's actually going on, we're actually defeating the purpose of having a discussion of this magnitude.
Is that you or is that hold on, let me check. Testing. Okay, sorry, just my levels. Okay, I mean, bro, I agree with what you're saying, but do you really think that people should stay in their homes?
I don't believe that they should travel abroad, because right now the world is against itself, Solid Blue.
I'm not just saying just travel abroad. So you don't think that someone should go from Illinois to New Hampshire or something? I mean, that they shouldn't even leave the state or leave their county and go to another city or something like that?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying stay in the house, because we are not supposed to fear. We're just supposed to understand the signs of the time while we're traveling. Now, I wouldn't say travel like in the 70s, where you could just be carefree, no knife, no gun. When you travel today, you need to be packing heat. And I mean, that heat need to be able to get hot. You understand what I'm saying? So
I understand what you're saying, but let me tell you, traveling in the 70s was also something that you had to be very careful of. Anyway, go ahead.
But not like today, Solid Blue. Not, because think about this. Some of the crimes that are happening today, even though crime and criminality was prevalent in the 70s, it wasn't this bad. It wasn't mass shoot. Do you know it was just a mass shooting at a Walmart, I think at least a day or so ago.
But this country has always had mass crime. It was just something.
But
else.
Not on this level. Not on this level.
I'm okay. What you're saying is true, but again, you just go look back at the history of this country alone, and how many people, and I'm aside from war, how many people were mass.
Understand.
St.
Valentine's Day massacre was a mass level murder, but they didn't have that happening to the frequency that it happens today. Okay,
true. But you look at something like lynchings; those are like every other day, and those are like mass. I mean, there are a lot of mass things mass things that have happened in this country that are like mass. But
check this out.
I do not think that people should be afraid to leave their home, because when you do, that just boxes you in. You should not be afraid to leave your home, but you do have to be careful. But no matter how careful you are, you still don't know if the person who is standing behind you at the supermarket is about to pull out a gun or pull out a knife or just go off at the cashier for whatever, start. And I'm not even talking about shooting things, bro. I'm talking about people who just go off. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? I mean, they just go off. They just go off.
Well, you know, it's always been goofy people in society. It's any society you name, there's always been goofy people. But you know what makes it even worse today? What makes it even worse is copycatism is on the rise.
It is.
Understand this. Since the Columbine shooting of Eric Klebo and his companions, his comrades,
1999.
Do you know that school shootings took off since then? Because all of these copycats, people are copycatting now like never before. If it was a Jack the Ripper type in America right now, every city would have to be on the alert, because it would be a million serial killers in the order of Jack the Ripper. Like, copycat people ain't original no more. So now all they do is jump on bandwagons.
Well, I mean, no, you do have a point. Crucible, welcome.
Hi, Salad. Hey, bro, everyone. Yeah, you asked a question earlier in the program, Salad, and it was something to the effect, when does the madness stop? And my answer is not going to please anybody, because it's frustrating. It's a powerless, lack of control answer, but the real answer is never. The real answer is the madness will never stop. It was never intended to stop. It's a utopian concept. We're asking the wrong questions. The question is, how do we navigate the madness that is inherent in mankind? How do we protect ourselves yet not go into a fetal position? Like you were saying, never leave the house, never leave the state, never leave the country. Obviously, we have to be smart about where we travel these days. But to just shut it all down is to let fear win. So the idea that the madness, and I'm using air quotes, is going to stop some quote unquote day is a fallacy. And the sooner we disavow ourselves of that notion, maybe we can start focusing on realistic potential solutions. And that is to be vigilant, pay attention, live your life. Don't be afraid to take risks. Be smart about the risks. But this idea that we're walking around waiting for gun violence to stop or madness to stop, we're barking up the wrong tree. That's just my view.
Well, I'm going to continue to bark up the wrong tree, because last week on a show, I don't know who said it. Somebody said that, you know, we need to stop talking about it, whatever. I'm going to keep talking about it. And I think I am, for me, I think I am asking the right questions, because we should not have to navigate through.
Reality tells us that we do, though. And I'm not saying stop talking about it. I'm not saying that at all.
But again, if people want to learn how to navigate whatever, that is fine. But for me, I think that we can get to that point. It may not be in my lifetime. May not be in the next lifetime. Hell, we're still dealing with crap from generations and generations of, you know, generations that are easily solved if people would just wake up and pay attention and see certain things that should be and should not be done. But when people don't want to look at reality and see reality, but this is just me. But you can say never, you can say whatever, but I'm going to be that person, even if I'm on that hill by myself, that will continue to question, when is the madness going to stop? If you don't want to listen, then you don't listen. But I am going to keep talking. And if people want to listen to me, they can. If they don't, they can turn me off.
Solid Blue, I don't think Crucible was saying stop talking about it at all. What he was saying was, or what I believe he was saying is that we have a way that's unrealistic at looking at our problems. But I know why we think like that. A lot of us grew up in the church, and the church gave us a lot of theories on a level of, you know, let go and let God. No, we have to be vigilant. We have to, the Bible says, understand the times. Knowing the type of times that I'm in, everywhere I go, if I go to church, I'm strapped. Everywhere I go. See, let me say this. If Dylann Roof came up in my church, the little old ladies in the church would be safe, because whatever Dylann Roof pull out, I'm pulling out something way bigger, and we going to go at it. See, we got to be on point is what Crucible is saying.
No, I understand that. I understand about being on point, but that doesn't mean that the questions cannot be asked. So it doesn't mean that the questions are not being asked. I did not say that at all. I'm just saying that I'm still going to ask the questions. And what you said about Dylann Roof, I'm pulling out my piece too. I am going to be that person. As soon as he pulls out his, I am pulling out mine. And I'm even to the point where if you are, and this is going to sound really, really racist, but I'm just going to say it. I'm to the point now that if you're a Black person going to all white church, why are you there? Why do you want to come here? If you're a white person going to all Black church, why are you here? Why? I'm looking up and down at everybody. But I'm still going to ask the question, when is this going to stop?
Let me say this, Solid Blue. I'm going to tell you like this. If you're all Black attending an all Black church, why are you there? If you're all white attending an all white church, why are you there? Because the church has more money than the law will allow. And instead of pulling its resources to get their communities better, to educate the children in the communities, because they know schools, urban and suburban, are both failing children in this nation called America. Why isn't the church doing anymore when we give them all our dollars that they supposed to get? They even looking at your W-2 tax forms now.
I think that depends upon the church that you're at. But I'm not getting off topic here. I'm staying on topic.
No, I'm not getting off topic either. I'm just saying that the church don't. I just think right now church isn't the answer for anybody.
I never said church
asking the questions you're asking.
No, I mean I never said that the church was. I never said that it was. I am just saying that again. Staying on topic here. That people are walking out of their house, and there are some people who are truly afraid to step out of their door now, because of what they think might happen. Crazy Lady Rose, welcome. Serotonin, welcome. Power Girl, welcome. You know, people are really scared.
But let me ask you this, Solid Blue. Is a person not compromising their belief when the Bible says that there is nothing to fear other than fear itself, yet we go out here scared when the Bible says that if you are a child of God, that no weapon formed. See, if we thought like warriors of Christ instead of cowards of Christ, we would think differently. We wouldn't have that fear. Nah, I ain't scared. I just put my gun on just for extra protection. Because I might not have on the whole armor about it. I might be missing something.
No, I'm not. No, and again, I'm not compromising my beliefs. And again, as I've said before, I do believe in the Bible, and I'm not going to let someone, you know, make me fear going outside. I am not. I'm just not going to let them do that to me. But other people have. I'm not going to judge them, because who am I to judge you if you're scared to go out? If you don't want to go out, don't go out. How can you make people, or not even make them? How can you encourage people not to be afraid to go out? Because again, what's the guarantee that they'll return? Because in reality, like Lou or I can't remember who said it, Drew said there are no guarantees. Hey, Annie J, there are no guarantees.
There are no guarantees, and there has never been any.
But if you have a belief,
you have to stand on it.
And I stand on my beliefs, and I stand on my beliefs.
And not just for you, Salibu, let's take ourselves out of the equation. I'm talking about for everybody. Anybody that has a belief, they have to be willing to stand on it.
You're right. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they have beliefs, but then somebody will say something or something will happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, that belief, well, okay, you know, just like I've said before, you know, you're in a room with 10 people, you know, they ask something, and how many people want to go to the movies Sunday? And some people will literally look around to see how many people are raising their hand. If a lot of people raise their hand, well, then they'll raise their hand. How many people are actually willing, truly willing to stand on their beliefs, you know, and just, you know, no matter what, they will go through with it. Not many people, bro. Not many people. I see
but
it
you know
all
what, though,
the time. I see it all the time.
If we're standing on our belief, then guess what? We're not scared. Because I'm not scared when I go out.
No.
And I don't think that anybody else should be either. And then can we say that they're standing on their belief if
but,
they are
okay,
scared?
But you also have people who could have been victims of crime, and they don't want to, you know, Rose, I'm gonna put you on mute for a moment. They could have been victims of crime. So they are scared to go out. You know,
Solid Blue, I've been robbed before at gunpoint.
Okay, but that's you. So you cannot tell.
Right, so so let's take ourselves. Okay, so if I don't have to be, nobody else don't either.
Okay, that is how you feel. That is your belief. I cannot tell you this happened to you. Well, you know what? You just need to get up. I cannot tell you that. That's not my right. That's not my place to tell you. I can encourage you and say, well, you know, bro, you know, I understand. Well, just take it day by day. I'm not gonna call you a coward because you just got robbed by gunpoint. I'm not gonna call you a coward because you don't want to go back out or that you're scared. I have no right to do that.
Okay, but guess what? I'm not going to defend your position either. See, understand.
You are defending
that position, Solid.
Okay, bro. Let me ask you a question. You know what? Let me go to Rose, and then I'm going to come back. Rose, welcome.
12th day. I've also been picked on when I've gone out, but that doesn't stop me going out. I'll still go out. Doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
And if I wanted to go in a church and I was a white church, it was all black and I was white, I would still go in there if I wanted to go in there for a reason. It wouldn't make any difference to me whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Crucible?
Well, I guess, you know, Bro kind of clarified my earlier comments about, you know, talking about it or not talking about it. And I wasn't suggesting that we stop talking about it, but he hit on what I was trying to go for there. And that was, if we keep asking, again, in my view, and I know you don't agree, if we keep asking the wrong questions, we're going to have unrealistic answers. It's like the reaction we have every time there's a mass shooting, ban assault weapons. We don't even go to the second or third thing on the list. It's a reflexive response that's a default position. I'm curious. I don't believe the madness will ever stop. There's zero evidence to support it. In fact, there's more evidence to say it's accelerating than it's diminishing. You disagree with that. You think the madness can be stopped because you keep asking the question. I'm curious, if you believe that, you must have specific ideas in mind that will bring the madness to an end. Can you share those with us?
I think that one of the ways to stop the madness, and I have said before that I think that, and this may be wrong for me to put it in these terms, but, and I have said it before on my show, crazy people should not own guns. People who are mentally ill should not own guns. There should be a background check. If someone walks into a store or into a gun shop and buys all these rounds and what have you, there needs to be questions asked. Why are you buying this? Why do you need all of this? If you heard, you know, that your neighbor, you know, was going off, you know, at a party saying, you know, well, I can't stand that teacher and she did this to me and blah, blah, blah. You know, I am going to kill her. Don't assume, oh, they're just saying something, whatever. There are things out there that we can do. But see, but as soon as people hear banned assault rifles, the first thing people hear also is they want to get rid of my guns. That's not what is being said. And I think that assault rifles should be banned. There is absolutely no reason, in my opinion, that anybody should have an assault rifle. Now, our questions that we ask may be different, and that's fine. But you can ask your questions and I can ask mine. But again, I'm not going to stand down on what I believe in just because someone disagrees with me. So.
Sally, can I say something really quick?
Yeah, and I also wanted to comment on that last point you said. But anyway, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can do that.
Oh, when you said that I'm defending their position, judging. My thing is this: at the end of the day, bro, I don't care if you don't come out of your house. I don't care if you do go out. If you do come out of your house. At the end of the day, it's not. I mean, I don't care. What people choose to do, as long as they're not hurting someone, as long as they are not killing someone, I don't care. So what difference does it make, you know, in terms of judging, whatever? I don't care. That was the comment that I wanted to make.
Okay, well, let me say this really quick to that comment. Things that we don't care about aren't things that we defend. I was just saying that it's a possibility if a person don't stand on their belief that they are not grounded inside of that belief system. And that's what it is. It's too many hypocrites making headway because we just believe hypocrites at face value. I don't. And the thing that I wanted to say was, in America right now, there is an economic collapse that is about to happen that's probably going to be worse than the Great Depression in 1929. Every avenue that people could take towards getting money right now, they are taking solid. Do you know that hospitals are releasing fentanyl, the only place that you can get it from? How is it getting to the streets? To the degree that is, do you know, in a 24-hour period in the state of Ohio, there was 13 ODs.
It's called
at
corruption.
One hospital.
It's called corruption.
Okay, well, if it's like that, then that means that the problems, like Crucible said, are systemic, which means that it is built into, the criminality is built into the very fabric and fiber of the American system. We can't ask that to go away. It's a part of America is built on crime. They didn't come and just, you know, get a hold. They came and stole a nation.
I'm not saying that it's not. My question is, when will it stop? And my question started out to be, you walk out of your house, what's the guarantee you'll return? Everybody can think however they want, bro. Everyone can do, again, you have your opinions, whatever, and I will have mine. So I'm going to go to Crazy Lady. Thank you for waiting patiently.
Oh, no worries. To the assault question, my dad would straight up, because people told him, well, you shouldn't be able to own an assault rifle. And my dad would look at it and say, do you trust your government? Because I don't, and I may need that assault rifle to defend myself and my community.
If people want to go out and buy assault rifles, you know, if it's legal in your state,
but I agree with you. Yes,
then go and do it. I'm just saying that I personally,
but I do believe, think that they do. Yeah, that not everybody should be able to, you know, pick up a rifle.
It's just getting to the point where you know anybody can just go in and just buy some. I'm just saying that if you're buying all this stuff, you know, what are you buying for? Yes, it is your
constant stocking up. Right.
You know, yes, you know, fine. Go and own it. If you want to go buy an assault rifle, bless your heart, go buy one. Go and buy one. I personally think that you should, that private citizens should not own one. That's just me. But if you want to go buy one, knock yourself out and go buy one.
I'm not allowed to have weapons, so I don't own any firearms.
You know, so, but, you know, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. And see, Drew, your last point, I'm reading up now. Disposable income swayed by irrational fears. Lou says stockpiling. Yes, people are stockpiling. I'm reading from down to up, y'all. Lizzie says they're still recovering from the weekend. Let's see, I don't know what that means. Let's see. No one in the government trusts weapons. I'm not sure what y'all are talking about, the Capone thing. But yeah, so I mean, you know. Bro,
I just think Americans are too trigger happy. I mean, this idea now that basically you can, do you hear that case where that lad was just coming, he was going to pick up some kids from somewhere, and he walked up to the door and he thought he was at the right house. And then this crazy bloke decided to shoot through the door and shot him. No questions, no nothing. You know, they got them because they brought this where it shoot first, you know, ask questions later. You know, and that's the way it is. And I do think it's too trigger happy in America.
You know what? And Rose, I think we are too. I think we are too. You know, and I own guns. You know, I mean, you know, but at the same time, you know, just because my neighbor steps on my grass or has a, you know, their dog is doing their business on my lawn, which they do, you know, I'm not running outside with my gun shooting people. But you have people that are doing that, you know, and bro, I understand what corruption is. You know, so, you know, I mean, I, you know, and then Rifle says chances of returning home are pretty good. 99.22% of people don't get murdered every year. Rifle, that is a point. But again, you have people who fear because of everything that is going on. They do fear, Rose, I'm going to put you on mute for a moment. They do fear going out. I'm not going to knock those people. I have no right to, you know, so, and I'm not going to debate, you know, whether or not I have a right to judge those people. That's just what I think. Crucible.
Yeah, I think it was Rifle said, you know, most people do return home at night, but you asked a question earlier, what are the guarantees? Of course, there are no guarantees. We have to live our lives. And certain people live their lives through a different lens, as you've been saying, or somebody was saying, if they were victims of crime themselves, we all react differently. Bro has said he was robbed and he has no fear of leaving the house. Other people are probably, you know, afraid to go to the grocery store. So we have to live our lives. We can't surrender to the fear, but the fear is always going to be there. And the only reason I was saying earlier, not the only reason, but one of the reasons I was saying earlier is to maybe embrace, I'm not sure that's quite the right word, embrace the inevitability of this madness. Because in some small sense, because if you just say, when is the madness going to stop? That's a very powerless position to be in, because it implies we don't have any answers. But if we accept that it's always going to be here, then we can kind of plan around it, can't we? We can sort of game plan for it and allow for it and inject it into our daily movements to say we have to allow for this. This is one more control factor that we have to allow for. And by acknowledging some things that are beyond our control, it is, in a sense, a form of giving back some control. That was kind of where I was going with it in some sense.
Well, I mean, but to say, you know, that we have to allow for it, I have a hard time allowing for someone to walk into a school and shoot children. I mean, you had, when Sandy Hook happened, you had a lot of people who said that didn't really happen. Those were actors, you know, whatever, which I thought was just sickening to me. But then all of a sudden, these school shootings just keep going. I'm sorry, I'm not going to just allow. Well, we're just going to allow. No, when is it going to stop?
No,
and when
but
I say,
don't,
when
but,
is it going to stop? That is the question for society to say, we can do this. We can stop it. We know what we need to do. You know, when I was in school, we had fire drills. We had, you know, officer friendly come. We don't have officer friendly anymore. I wonder why. You know, we had someone from the fire department who would come, and they would, you know, tell us, you know, okay, and this is what you do. I mean, you know, you don't have, you know, shooter drills. You know, that's what our kids are going through now. They're going through mass shooter drills. I'm sorry, I don't think that we need to allow for that.
When I said allow, it doesn't mean allow it to happen, condone it. Those are two different words. What I meant allow for it is to consider it, allow it as a consideration. It's part of our world. We're allowing it into our lives as a reality. We're not allowing it as a permissive thing. I'm not saying condone it.
I did not say condone, and that is not what I meant. I am just saying that we are to a point in America mostly where people are walking into places, and I'm even talking about if it's the drive-by, whatever you want to do it, because people want to talk about black on black crime, whatever. If it's anything, it's just so out of control that I am asking, when is it going to stop? So whether people like and Crucible and Bro, I understand what you all are saying totally, but I'm still asking my question, when is it going to stop? And it's even me just talking to myself, you know, when is it going to stop? And that's a question I will continue to ask. And I'll continue to ask it to myself when I talk to myself, and I'll continue to say it out loud. Crucible.
No, and I understand that. And again, I'm not, all I was trying to say was we have to acknowledge, the more willing we are to acknowledge certain realities, the better prepared we can be. And if you keep asking the question, I think the question's been answered.
Okay.
I think the question has been resoundingly answered, and it might be time to ask some other ones. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying the question is the wrong one.
Okay.
It might
then maybe somebody else needs to ask those other questions, because my question is still going to be, when is it going to stop? So somebody else can ask those those questions. But that is my question.
And I respect your position.
Because it's just something that I think about when these things happen, just in my head. I'm just like, when is this going to stop? Bro.
Sally Blue, listen. Do you know home invasions never have to stop? What needs to happen is that the homeowners and the home renters need to be prepared when situations like that come. You didn't just have a fire drill at your school because the school was actually on fire. You had a fire drill at your school to plan and prepare for when a fire actually happened. It happens. Listen, crime don't have to stop. School shootings don't have to stop. But the schools need to be prepared for when a shooter come in there to be able to handle that. That's what needs to happen. We need to be better preppers and planners of things that can happen and that are more likely to happen. We need to be prepared for those things.
Okay. And Lou says, once American turned back to Christian nation, that's very unrealistic nowadays. And Lou, I'm going to disagree with you on that because I think that Christianity in America is a joke. We can say, you know, once America, you know, goes back to the Bible, because what a lot of people think is Christian in this country, to me, only serves one group of people, and it leaves everyone else out, and it's a bunch of hypocrisy. And Drew, hold on, you want to pop on? Let me catch you. Hold on. So, Rose, did you want to say anything?
Really, like you said about schools, you know, maybe you have to have people at doors searching it, or, you know, teachers who know how to sort of have guns and that. But I don't know. The trouble with it is violence is always going to go on. So I think it starts at home, doesn't it? What you teach your kids. And that boils down to it, really. If you teach your kids to pick violence, or you're violent towards your kids, or they see violence, then they will know violence. They will act out violence. So I think it all still boils down to where you are with your kids, or where you come from as a kid.
Okay. All right. Drew? Drew? Are you there? Okay, I think Drew is there. So while Drew is getting his mic together, I'm going to go to Crazy Lady. Crazy Lady?
Shit. Oh, okay. Yeah, violence is going to be here. I homeschooled my kids because of the school shootings and stuff. But it starts with, you know, the change has to start with us as people, as individuals, you know. If something's happening around you that is unacceptable, you just have to stand up and say, hey, this is unacceptable. I think that's a lot of what's wrong with society today, is that they just are too accepting of things that they maybe shouldn't be accepting. And accountability. You know, everyone needs to be accountable for what they do.
Very true. Very true. Drew, is your mic? Can you hear me now? Okay, you are very, very faint. You may want to go out and come back in. You are very faint. Can you hear me now? I'm saying you're very faint, so I'm saying you may want to go out and then come back in.
Any resolution to that?
Again, when I say go out, I mean talking about leave, like disconnect yourself from the thing, and then I'll invite you back up. So hold on, let me. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Let me see. He's coming back. Let's see what happens here. Okay. Drew, you there? Can anyone else hear him? Because I cannot hear him.
Sally.
No, cannot hear him.
Okay. Sally, I think it is he's in his car and he got the Wi-Fi. If I'm in my car and I got the Wi-Fi, you can't hear me either. So I'll be pulling over to the side and cutting my car off to talk to you. I think he's in his car.
Okay. Drew, are you in your car or... Okay, I cannot hear. I cannot hear. I cannot hear.
Hey, so if you used your phone anytime during Solid Sisters show, like you were listening and someone called you and you used your phone, disconnect your Bluetooth and then reconnect it. It might work. That sometimes happens to me.
Okay, Drew, so Crazy Lady says disconnect your Bluetooth and reconnect it. So until then, I'm just going to keep moving on. Bro, you have anything you want to add?
The only thing that I would say, Salad Blue, is I appreciate you for asking the questions that you're asking. And the reason why I say that is because we got to start somewhere. Because if nobody says anything, the conversation will never be had. So thank God for your platform at least bringing up the questions. Now you may inspire people to come up with other questions that could lead to more formidable answers. Thank you.
Thank you too, bro. Thank you. Okay, Drew, you want to try it? You want to try it again? Okay, you are very, very faint. I'm not sure what's going on with.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you are.
I'll try and talk very loud. I agree that things start at home, but I disagree with the premise that this is not something that's societal. If you literally made people who had guns have liability insurance, the financial kickback alone would give whoever wanted what for whatever security they needed for schools. But that doesn't fix it either. You have too many guns, you don't have enough people that realize what a gun will do, and you have politicians that are owned by the gun industry. They're so far off the beaten path of what a well-regulated militia is, that I have guns, I was in the military, but I'm as liberal as the day is long. I'm financially conservative, but I'm socially liberal. And the idea that guns, well, we don't know what to do. When is enough enough? It's enough is enough already. Enough was enough 20 years ago. I mean, when they implemented the assault weapons ban and mass shootings dropped off the map, that bill sunsetted. And so people started manufacturing assault weapons, selling assault weapons. Now we have, you know, almost 400 million guns in the United States. That's too many. Ask Britain how many guns they have. Ask Australia how many guns they have. I lived in Japan. Ask how many guns they have. People say, oh, but people, they get knifed or they get, you know, beat up. Okay, but how many people can one person beat up versus one assault weapon with a 30-round magazine? The answer is simple. Make whomever's benefiting from it stop benefiting from it. Big industries like tobacco. What happened to big tobacco? Bunch of money left big tobacco. So now e-cigarettes show up. E-cigarettes are going away because they're showing that there are health implications in kids and things. If you don't stop the politicians, you don't stop the money, you don't stop the manufacturers, you won't stop the death.
I think what you just said made a lot of sense. And, in California, which is a state that a lot of people like to beat up on, when we had our assault ban, the amount of shootings and everything went down. It went down. In fact, most of the shootings in this country, if you really look and see where most of the shootings and most of the gun ownership is, it's in your southern states. Most of the shootings, you know, people want to say, oh, it's New York, Chicago, whatever. Most of those shootings are in your southern states. But when you have an assault rifle ban, Drew is absolutely right. Those fatalities went down drastically. But like Drew also said, people who are owned by the system, they don't want that. They don't want that. So, you know, so you can ask all the so-called right questions that you want. But the bottom line is, for a lot of things, people know what they need to do. People know what needs to be done. They just don't want to do it because it's going to cost them money. It is going to cost them money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay, Drew, you're going to have to speak up louder.
Okay, you're right. It not only does it cost them money, they don't make money, and so. If anyone on this phone call or podcast doesn't understand that, people only do things to get things. They either feel good about something they're doing, or they get some kind of remuneration. They get paid for it. Or if they're a politician, they get to stay in power. So when Mitt Romney, who takes more money than anybody else, is in power for as long as he is, it's because he's getting something from it. Not just the money, but the power. So when you have media that supports these things, that doesn't actually show you the pictures of the devastation of the children who, you know, you could, the only thing you can tell is by their shoes, how is that an okay dialogue to have in any country, let alone the world's best country, the most progressive country? We have more rights in this country than almost every other country. We have more freedoms in this country, and that's what I wrote earlier. This is where your freedoms are butting up against your rights, and you get the people who say you can't have both. You can only have one, or if you give one up, you'll lose both. So the simplest solution always, Occam's razor, parsimony, whatever you want to call it, the simplest solution is there are too many guns. There are too many people that may not be able to have the capacity to have a firearm, the harm of a firearm. You don't want to stop politicians. You want to vote for politicians. You want to do every 2 years or 4 years, get really enraged about something. Try doing it every day. Try saying, I'm going to make a difference every day. I'm not going to let that person stay in office. I'm going to help somebody, give them $5 or $10, or I'm going to go, you know, door to door for them. God forbid you get shot because you're going door to door. But if you don't become part of the solution, you're actually becoming part of the problem. It's a very simple solution. The simplest solution is action. Look at what Bill Clinton did. Look at what Barack Obama did. And now look what George Bush has done. Look what Trump did do.
Hold on. Let's keep the politicians' names out of it.
Well, reality, whoever's the leading party in this, you know, there's not a Democrat that's going to stand up and say, I'm an A-rated Democrat for the NRA. They're not.
No, but and I don't want to turn this into a political thing, because then people are start going back and forth. But I will say this: they may not stand up and say it in public, but I guarantee you, in private, both sides are in bed with the NRA.
Exactly, Solid Bloom.
I
had to. I'm sorry.
You know, so. No, I'm sorry, bro. When you started talking, it really went into my ear because I had to turn up my volume to hear Drew. So,
let's dig deep into that, because I don't believe. I think that the NRA, along with some other things, have created a place for certain people to be who felt left out.
Well, I mean, but okay, but that's but again, you know, this is going in a direction that I don't want it to go, but you have in society there will always be groups where you have people that are left out when someone came down on an escalator in 2015. What was said brought in a lot of people who felt they were left out, and you know what? I'm not going there. I don't want to go there. So on that note, we're passing the hour mark. So I'm gonna start with Rose. Rose, did you want to say anything else?
No, except he is right about what he's saying. You've got to sort of, you know, lower the guns down, and like you said, the rifles. What you just said, the thingy rifles. You know, you've got to take them down as well. Really.
Oh, okay. All right. And Crucible says, I'm not interested in a political discussion. Rifle says, the assault weapons ban was a joke. People could still buy guns capable of the exact same rate of fire, etc. Instead of threaded barrel, they pinned whatever attachment they wanted on instead. They skeletonized stocks instead of allowing pistol grips. Just cosmetics, no functional differences. Some people, yes, they did do that. And Drew says it's part of the solution. Crazy lady.
Just remember, people, remember the plural way. Unity and respect. That's the way to go.
Yeah, but people still can't get that right, crazy lady. Crucible?
Nope, I'm good.
Hello? Okay, so...
No, I have nothing else to add. I have nothing else to add.
Okay. Bro?
Let me just say this. Crucible was rock solid in a statement that he made pertaining to Drew when he said, you're leaving out the human component. Let me say this, Solid Blue, really fast as I can. Do you know that at least 99.999% of the crimes that involve guns are committed by people that don't even have the right to have a gun? I say probably 15% or less of gun violence is actually done by people who have the right to have a gun. And that's what I think America don't look at when they talk about all this gun control and gun control legislation. I think what they're doing is they're making a broad stroke and including everybody when it is the criminals who have been criminalizing way before, like now, like maybe for the last 50, 60, 70 years. Illegal guns have been on the street en masse and have been killing people. It's not the leak. Do you know every time I go to get a gun, I have a waiting period?
I would hope that every state has. I mean, I know I have to go through a waiting period. And in
but
California,
what I'm saying is, when you hear gun control, anti-gun control activists speak, they act as if, oh, no, they're not doing any checks. And all that is rhetoric. They're trying to get, this is a fear-mongering nation. And they use NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox and other networks as well to promote the fear. And people are buying into
it. And that's where you have to be smart enough to pick and choose and say, well, no, this isn't right. You know, this isn't right. I mean, come on. So, I mean, no, bro, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I think also, but I do think that a lot of people hear the gun act activists and they immediately say, oh, well, they want to do this or they want to do this. You know, it's like, anyway. I wanted to address what was something that Drew says. He says about ignoring the politics is ignoring the problem. Drew, I'm not ignoring the politics at all. I'm not ignoring the politics at all. I agree with you. I know where you were going with that, and I agree. But I had a show one time that was one too many, where politics came into it, and that's why I say, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, names or anything, because I can say names all day, and other people can say names all day. People, it turned into a shit fest. It turned into a shit fest. Because some people just don't want to hear you talk about their party. Some people don't want to hear you talk about somebody you voted for. Some people may not want to, you know, they want to hear you talk about the person that you may vote for. People don't want to hear this. People don't want to hear that. That's why I wasn't trying to shut down what you were saying about politics is part of the problem with guns. That's not what I was shutting down. I was shutting down the fact of the discussion turning into politics. But if you don't want to hear it, you know, I may do a show on politics. I've been thinking about it because there's been a lot of stuff going on where politics needs to come up. But I will say this, if I do a show on politics, I would hope that everyone will be able to be mature enough and listen to each other's opinions and what have you. But that's something I still have to think about it, because I don't know, people get really heated when you start talking about politics. So, Drew, you have anything else you want to add before we end? Yes, they get irate. And as you can see, a lot of people dropped off. So anyway, anything else you want to add Drew, before we end? And please speak up. Drew, you there? Okay, so Drew is having issues. So I am just going to end. Your headset, not good. Okay. That's it, y'all. To everyone, Lou, Rifle, Rose, Fire Girl, Crucible, Bro, Drew, Crazy Lady. I'm trying to think of everybody who was up on the panel. Thank you for popping up. And I'm going to end with, we already heard this one, but I'm going to end with it again with Wake Up Everybody. So that's it, y'all. Hold on.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up
and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Change it, yeah, just you and me. Change it, yeah, change it. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes, I do.
Need a little help.
Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all. Change the world what it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Well, everyone, that's it. Thank you so much for joining today. Enjoy your day or evening, wherever you are in the world, and I do hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.